FM.
And now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, we investigate claims that 20 grand can buy you an intimate half hour with Paul Keating. Apparently he can touch you, but you can't touch him. Mick goes behind the scenes at that historic 50th anniversary piss-up at the UN in New York. We've got news of another deadly killer in our homes. And on International Lunchbox, well, Bishop Desmond Tutu is the second celebrity to be outed. That only leaves two more names between you and a shot at that stereo TV and Ford Festiva. We'll also play Radio Gladiators, and joining us live, poet Raymond J. Bartholomew's, and when he's left the building, comedian Brian Nankervis steps up to the plate. It's all coming up on the only program whose hosts aren't racing to bury their snouts in the pay TV trough. Well, not unless the call comes through anyway before the end of the show. Martin Malloy.
Okay, that's the crap. Is there not one more, Gracie?
Okay. That was the Cranberries with Dreams. We're just piss-farting around, as is our want, as we welcome you to another edition of Martin Malloy for a Tuesday. My name's Tony Martin, and with me this bloke here, a man who, like the most of us, just can't decide, Camilla Parker Bowles or Tiggy Leg Burke McMalloy.
Tone. I've told the both of them, whichever way I go, I'm not giving up Adriana Exanides.
Of course. Prince Charles, he can't just go out with someone called Julie Wilson, can he?
No.
It'd have to be Julie Barnstable Spiffington
Newton-John.
Newton-John Wilson.
Whatever.
It'd have to be. But enough of this, because we've got some serious fish to fry here on the program, and in order to get to that, I'm going to have to say these words. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Celebrity Corner. Big hand to the honky-tonk hero, Gracie there, doing his stuff. Okay. Now, according to a document obtained by the Australian Democrats, a Queensland public relations firm has offered any company willing to fork over 20 grand a one-on-one meeting with the Prime Minister Paul Keating and selected members of federal cabinet. The ALP say this is a legitimate form of party fundraising, and Paul Keating has agreed to talk to us about it. He's given me a number to call. Here it is. Here we go.
You've reached the Daily Cabinet Ministerial Escort Service, a legitimate form of party fundraising. All major credit cards welcome. Your call has been placed in a queue. Mr. Pants, Paul Keating, will speak to you in a moment. In the meantime, here's a track from his new album, Paul Keating, The Gold Experience.
Cream, get on top. Cream. Don't you stop. No, that's cream, not crean. Hello? Go ahead if you're sexy.
Mr. Prime Minister, it's Mick Malloy.
Oh, g'day, Mick. Care to make a donation?
Hey,
come on, buddy. We cater to all persuasions. Labour, Liberal, swinging voters.
What exactly are you up to?
It's a legitimate service we provide for the more reputable businessman. A chance for him to form an intimate relationship with myself or one of my cabinet. Nothing kinky, just basic tax relief, a bit of fruity talk about the possibility of a republic, and for those who want it, S&M.
S&M?
Senators and ministers, available for your debating pleasure. Why not pop downstairs to our fully equipped dungeon to thrash out some policy with a leather-clad Kim Beazley? It's like being attacked by a sofa for half an hour. Come on, Mick, don't be shy.
Isn't this just a trumped-up form of prostitution?
I resent that, Mick. I'm not a stripper. I'm a dancer.
I see.
What about a threesome, Mickey? For a few extra shekels, I might be persuaded to cross the floor and line you up with those Green senators.
No thanks.
Come on, give it a try. Why not spend half an hour as the meat in an environmentally friendly sandwich? Hey, Mickey, you getting enough greens?
I'll pass, thanks, Mr. Keating.
We also cater for small business, Mick. Why not enjoy a body massage from a topless and busty Robert Ray? Or let Carmen Lawrence indulge you with her I-can't-recall fantasy. And hey, You haven't lived till you've received a sternly worded protest from that French tickler, Gareth Evans.
Mr. Keating, I think we've heard enough.
Hey, you're not thinking of going over to the opposition, not the Liberal Mates Club. You'll be disappointed, Mick. It's just a rubber-clad John Howard in an empty room.
Prime Minister, thanks for your time.
That'll be $75. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a session with Laurie Oakes. Ralph, get the winch ready.
Lean on Me, that's Club Nouveau here on Martin Molloy. And if you've been watching the news, you'll know that they're just going right off over in New York at the UN, the 50th anniversary celebrations. Mick, you've been keeping a close eye on it. What's happened?
Tone, the United Nations has finally found something it can do well. And that's put on a bit of a do. Organise a spread and throw a dead set shindig. I am, of course, referring to the 50th anniversary bash at the United Nations, currently underway in New York. The event brings together the largest group of leaders in history for 3 days of public speeches, lavish dances and non-stop lap dancing. And Tone, as a party, it's an absolute corker. They'll be talking about this one for quite some time. And already it looks like going on, even a little longer than the Bosnian peace talks. It's all been happening. Boris Yeltsin, well, he's been up to his old antics. He's already spiked the punch, grabbed the towel off Yasser Arafat's head and started flicking him in the ass with it. Then he grabbed Fidel Castro's cigar to assist him in his uncanny W.C. Fields impersonation before tipping over furniture, setting fire to the curtains and laughing like a drain as he declared the site another Chernobyl. Things were just getting out of hand, right, so they decided to call the UN security forces.
All right.
Just for a joke, though, because everyone there knew that there's nothing they can do apart from stand by and watch, looking like a bunch of spare dicks in blue hats. Even when Boris brought the elephant in, you know, like Peter Sellers in the party, just stood around doing diddly. What else can I tell you? Saddam wasn't there. He was at home with Uday, still trying to assemble the super gun, and apart from that, he's still a bit hungover after the opening of Melbourne's Hard Rock Cafe the other night. The neighbours apparently made a complaint about the noise, but rather than turn the music down, the UN delegation just sent over a team of their top negotiators. Talks are continuing. The only thing all parties have agreed on so far is an immediate unilateral disarmament in the Michael Bolton department. The other major event that I must mention is that all the leaders took part in a photo featuring all 140 assembled leaders. Right. And I can't remember anyone using the phrase fancy dress, but that's how it looks to me. There's heaps of military uniforms, lots of kooky headgear. It's sort of like a meeting of the Village People fan club. But it's a great moment. And a great memento of a truly auspicious occasion. It marks the largest meeting of the world's greatest minds and leaders, and as a photo, it's a truly important footnote to the 20th century. Here, have a look at it, Tone. I've got it here.
What's
going on
there?
Take a look, and what do you make of that? You impressed by that?
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
Do you notice anything different?
Well,
bottom corner.
Right.
On the left.
Yeah.
Second from the end.
Oh.
Is that Kate Fisher?
I think it is.
The new SAFM.
Yeah, okay, heard you the first time, Loaf Boy. That's one M Loaf here on Martin Molloy with I'd Lie For You, brackets, and that's the truth, close brackets. Now, you were talking about the UN 50th anniversary. You've been following Fidel Castro's progress in America. I mean,
his wacky antics, Tone.
That's right. He's got a little timetable laid out for him, and he's got a very, he's got a lot of restrictions on where he can go. He's not allowed to go there. Mm. He's not allowed to go and see showgirls, apparently. It's all been laid out for him. He couldn't stick around for the band at the UN and all this stuff. He's got more restrictions placed on his US tour than Silverchair's parents placed on them for theirs. Apparently he couldn't visit America till he got his HSC.
Are you looking for something a little bit different in a partner, something that other dating services just aren't offering? Then give us a call here at Barnyard Introductions. Just tell us what you're looking for.
Hello. Yes, I'd like to meet a young, attractive bovine with a view to a permanent relationship.
And through our unique computer matching service, we'll set you up on the date of a lifetime.
Hello.
Oh, have I invented thee? Would that I had thumbs, I would ask you pinch me, but let that be no barrier to our love. Oh, I am smitten.
Whatever your requirements in a mate, Barnyard Introductions will make every endeavour to satisfy your particular needs.
Hello? Oh, I have not known love until this very moment. Look how my knees grow weak, and yet there is a strange firmness in my loins. I must have you, for this love I feel is truly beyond my control. Hush, child. There are no words.
Right now, we've got all manner of livestock waiting to take your call. Meet Ali, Amanda. And ladies, if you're looking for someone to fill that special hole in your life, then look no further than Brad. Whatever the occasion, our partners will prove to be the perfect escort.
Oh, that's a very witty anecdote. More wine, Sylvia. Oh, is there no end to your coquettish ways?
Why be lonely when romance is just around the corner? Go on, pick up the phone and... Barnyard Introductions.
Why don't I put on some soft music? Now, ladies, come hither. There's enough here for everybody. Ooh, that tickles.
Because dreams, no matter how kooky, can come true.
S-A-F-M.
That's four non-blondes here on Martin Malloy with What's Up. And, Mick, there have been a lot of calls, a lot of inquiries about your new service, Barnyard Introductions.
It's just introductions. It's nothing seedy. It's just dates.
It's completely harmless.
Absolutely.
It's
completely no animals were hurt or injured in the recording of that sketch.
So they can put their hooves on you, but you can't touch the
gotcha.
Yeah, Dr. Harry Keep is quite keen to sign up, apparently. Now, in the next hour here on Martin Malloy, a bit of a treat because we've got a couple of guests. We've got, firstly, Australia's foremost poet, Mr. Raymond J. Bartholomew's.
Mm, poet laureate to a generation.
Exactly. Mm. And no impressions, Mick.
Okay.
Just because it's Raymond Mania, and he's going to be doing the poetry. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be having Brian Nankervis, comedian extraordinaire. And will we be getting them on simultaneously, or will Raymond have to, you know, pop down the car, have a word to Brian, send him up? Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, one at a time, I think. I think that would be the way to go.
I think so. Also, Radio Gladiator's on the way. And, Mick, I have to ask, have you been steering clear of, apart from obviously, you know, with your work with Barnyard Introductions, have you been steering clear of cats and dogs?
I've had no personal contact.
Good, because they are the new deadly killer in our midst. You might recall a few weeks ago the papers were warning us about that deadly killer on our dining tables. Salt! And then there was that deadly electromagnetic killer in our laundries, the common household washing machine. Now I pick up today's paper and it seems that our own lovable furry cats and dogs may be carrying that deadly and mysterious horse virus. Is nothing safe anymore? I mean, I just made a mental note never to go near another horse in my life.
Yep.
No more pony rides at the beach for me. And as far as I'm concerned, even the panto horse may be a carrier.
Oh, yeah.
So now I find out that our own cats and dogs may be infected. Yeah. I had a triple threat at my place this morning, I have to tell you. The cat knocked over a jar of salt, then ran and hid in the washing machine. The whole house is roped off.
This is Martin Malloy.
Well, I'm against it.
Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Play on SAFM.
Another quick thing I'd just like to mention is we do get a lot of letters, a lot of faxes and correspondence to the program, but, you know, we're far too busy crapping on about the dangers of salt and the behaviour of young Uday Hussein and telling you what reading material to take along if you're buried alive. We've got a lot of important stuff to get through. But tomorrow we're going to do our level best to open up the...
Martin Malloy. Mailbag!
And clear some of the correspondence that's been chocking up the place around here. That'll be tomorrow, but right now it's...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, something we have had a lot of calls about is on Gladiators, we've done this a couple of times, stupid stuff that your dog does, and that's the common household dog, which, as we know, is a deadly killer. But I've really got my mileage out of these music stings today.
You're not done yet, are you?
Just keep them handy, Gracie. But a lot of cat owners have been calling up going, hey, cats do stupid stuff too.
We demand equal time.
So that's what we're going to do. We want stupid stories about things that your cat gets up to, or maybe your neighbour's cat. And I can give you one. Okay. A friend of mine's got a cat called Welby. Mm-hmm. And what he does for entertainment...
Is that it?
That's
your cat called Welby?
That's pretty
that's winning.
That's a soddy discman right there.
I'll get you a shot at that Ford Festiva.
But the icing on the cake is that Welby likes to go out in the backyard. And when it's really blowy and the hills horse is turning around, he'll take a bit of a run up and he'll jump and he'll sort of, you know, like those people with the Velcro suits, he'll just claw his way onto the sheets and just hang there, trapeze style, spinning around in the wind for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. Trouble is he can't detach himself, and usually it ends with the fire department being called and, you know, a couple of guys with a net. But that's pretty unusual, or maybe it's not, but it's cat behaviour. And that's the kind of thing we're looking
for. They're sending that robot from the bomb squad to take the cat off the lot. I don't have much experience with cats, but the one story that I remember is I used to live with a mate of mine called Syme, and we used to have lots of pets, but they were mostly rats. So one day we thought, hey, why don't we get a cat? Because, you know, we had this big pile of pizza boxes in the corner. And it
did
was just
you really?
It was a rat fest.
Oh, so that hard to believe.
It's true. It's true. And anyway, so we've got this cat. And the cat, well, basically, it didn't give a damn about the rats. It would look at us and go, well, if it's not bothering you, it's not bothering me. So anyway, we called the cat Dick Brain. That was the name of the cat. And what used to happen was the cat used to spend most of its time in the neighbour's garden. I think it was because the neighbour was feeding it. So every night, me and Simon would be over the neighbour's fence going, hey, Dick Brain! Hey, Dick Brain! Come in, Dick Brain! And, well, about 2 months later, our flat was firebombed. And I presume by the neighbours, who took exception to his corner name.
And you were quite surprised to find that Larry Emdeur kept showing up at your house saying... Somebody call.
Exactly. Okay. That's not a really stupid cat story. That's a stupid owner story.
I think it is. It reflects more on yourself. But that's the kind of thing we're chasing. The prize, as we know, it's a Sony Discman, and it's turned on by the fine folk at 4 and 20 Pies. And I know we're running over, Gracie, but has there been any 4 and 20 action at the UN celebrations?
That's the only thing all nations could agree on as party food. They were looking for the ultimate in snack food, and 140 leaders all around the world came in unanimous, get us some 4 and 20 pies. Yeah. So that's where they've all been heading. Oh. And apparently the 4 and 20 pies have played a crucial role in ongoing peace talks.
Is that right?
In the Bosnian region.
And I know that Saddam Hussein wasn't allowed to participate in the UN celebrations, but he did send a fax over saying that he's hard at work on a new super pie.
On a super pie.
Super, he's got all the bits, he just can't work out how it goes together.
He's got his work cut out for him. He's got to try and top the mighty 4 and 20.
Good luck to you, Butcher of Baghdad. But if you've got a cat story, call now, 1-800-657-657. Malloy, and we're playing Radio Gladiators. Today we're looking for examples of unusual, aberrant behaviour from your pet cat. Have you got any, Mickey?
Yeah, we got Cherie on the line. G'day, Cherie.
Hello.
All right, let's hop into it. What's your bizarre cat incident?
His name's Nermal, and when we walk the dog, he follows us, and then he jumps into people's yards and jumps over the fence and jumps out and tries to scare us.
Does he do this all the time?
All the time. You have to shoo him home sometimes or lock him in the house when we walk the dog.
So the cat's got a bit of a vendetta against you. Do you think it could be a reaction to being called Nermal?
Possibly, yeah.
What's the deal with Nermal?
Well, we've also got a cat called Garfield. We've had Dim Sim, Pickles. So I've had quite a few.
Yep, and good luck with all the ones to come. Okay, so fine.
Well, that's unusual behaviour, certainly.
Is.
From anything, really, let alone a cat.
From all concerned, the owner and the pet.
All right, now, what's Gail's story? Gail? And the cat, obviously, the problem with the cat is it gets to the phone and just...
The cat right now has got the gloves on and the mask and it's just cut the cord and it's about to go in and prey on another victim.
Okay, well, we've lost Gail, but, you know, it seems to me that we lose one caller every day.
Amazing?
Do you think it's some kind of... are they all getting together? Are they all in a support group? They get together and go, yeah, I had a really funny impression of the nanny. Really? Yeah, I had a bloody funny story about Boris Yeltsin, didn't get through.
There they're marching. Have a look out the window, Toad. There's placards.
Gail's just joined their ranks, but let's try Lisa. Lisa, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Lisa, what is your cat? Well, what is it called for starters?
Bundy after rum.
All right, not after the serial killer.
Not.
Okay, and what does Bundy do?
Bundy likes to wedge his head under the back tyre of a parked car and play dead. And he can't move him for hours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You sure he's not dead?
Oh, well, he's done it several times, so unless he's filling his lives.
And do you think it's a fulfilling practical joke on his part? Do you think he's getting any satisfaction out of it?
No, I do. I think he's trying to impress the chicks.
Mm. I reckon he's out there every day going, hey, look at me, ladies. Look how close to danger I am.
I'm not scared of this car.
And a cat that plays dead. I knew a cat that used to play dead. Mm. He used to go along to nightclub openings and just go out the front and roll about on the ground foaming at the mouth. But,
riding around.
I'm not eligible to enter. Thank you very much, Lisa. Have we got Joe on board? Joe, what does your cat do?
Yeah, well, it's actually my mate's cat. He's a carpenter. Mm. And twice he's actually chewed through one of the power cords for one of the power tools.
Ooh.
And, yeah, the first time the cat did it, blew out a couple of teeth. And the second time he's done it, he's burned off, you know, almost half his fur. So.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a crackle on the line. do you know where the cat is?
I think the cat had gone round to Gail's place, our second caller. And that explains it. And I would have thought that after having a couple of teeth blown out, you'd give it a rest. Mm. You'd steer clear of the cords. But it went in for a second go.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's got nine lives, so it's only used two of them.
What's your cat called?
It's called, just called Puss.
Maybe you could change it to Yahoo Serious.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. All right. All right, now, or Don King, maybe.
Or Don King.
Or shall I just labour the point while I'm here?
No, let's go. Anyone else? Okay. Did we miss anyone?
No. I love it. Okay, let's got that out of the way. Emily, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Emily, what does your cat get up to?
Well, it's not actually my cat, but my parents went to dinner or something and they heard this story about this cat who was living next door to these people. Mm. Now, these people, they moved. They moved somewhere, I don't know. And the new people moved in and they built a pool.
Right.
Now, this cat had continually jumped over the fence, you know, to eat, you know, whatever or around in the grass or something.
By through the electrical cords of the neighbours, that kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. Mm. And when the pool moved in, the cat kind of jumped over the fence out of, you know, habit and kind of landed in the pool and kind of, well, didn't last very long.
Okay, I think that might be our winner today, Gracie.
I'm just imagining the other cat, like with the power cord beside the pool, jumping in, and them both going up together.
Oh, that'd be. You'd get the full kit and caboodle on Funniest Home Videos if you could capture that on film. But okay, Emily, you're our winner today, and you've got the Sony Discman.
Oh my God! Thank you very much.
That's okay, and I don't think it comes with a cord. So if you've got any cash,
you sure?
You know, if you've got any toothless cats around, I think you'll be safe with that one. And also, you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva, being drawn November 17th.
Oh, cool.
Okay, thanks very much, Emily. We'll be back with more Gladiators tomorrow, but people in the next hour will be joined by Raymond J. Bartholomew's and the poems What He Writes.
Up to date.
And in this hour of Martin Molloy, radio's most tasteful game of chance, International Lunchbox, continues. We'll have Street Beat with Pete Smith. And next up, poetry with Raymond J. Bartholomew's. And hey, here's three words that ring poetic to us. Telstra, MobileNet, Digital. Never Let Me Go. That's Black Sorrows here on Martin Molloy. And listeners, as you know, Mick and myself are always trying to inject culture, proper culture, into this darn program each and every afternoon. And what better way to do that than by welcoming our guest today? He's Australia's foremost tribal love poet. It's Raymond J. Bartholomew's.
I wish you could see me dancing, because I'm dancing up a storm.
Delicious movement.
Polka, foxtrot, Guru Swami, strange love.
Now, Raymond...
Tone Mick.
Before we get to proper poetry, have you got any stories about cats? Because we were talking cats with the listeners earlier.
Thank you for laying the carpet, Dad. Thank you for showing us how. But what's the lump in the middle? Why is it saying me out? Now, I have to tell the truth. Doug McLeod. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with Doug, the comedy company, the chap next door, mm-hmm. Colin.
He's the poet laureate to a generation.
A wonderful man, Doug McLeod, and and obviously a hater of cats.
So hang on, you've pinched a bit of his material. Yes. So you're a bit of a Demidenko yourself, are you, Raymond
slight,
J?
Slight Demidenko.
Okay, well, there's a bit of poetry to kick things off. Is the joke officially cultured up now, Mick?
I think we can go further. How many poems do you think you've produced over the years,
Raymond? Oh, I'd love to say 300, but it's probably closer to about five. Have all been reworked. No, 180.
So you're quite prolific.
I like to write. I like to sit on the roof at night when the moon comes through that crack, you know, shrine style. You know, there's a certain time each year when the moonlight will hit the open sort of lectern, and I feel I can write.
And that's where you draw your inspiration from.
The moon and the lectern and the old diggers.
And the lectern. I think that's the first time the word lectern's been used on Martin Malloy.
Culture, lectern, fallopian.
Now we're getting culture.
Now it's culture.
Now it's all happening.
What about the news? Does the news inspire you at all?
I spent a lot of hours in a couch at Channel 9 today. What's cooking, Jeffy Jance? But I watched CNN, ABC, and can't Bill Clinton laugh? Did you see that? Doubled over. Oh, he had a laugh. Boris was doing weird gags in Russian. It was being translated. They were at Edgar J. Hoover's house.
It's a cackfest.
It was a total cackfest, and I ended up doing a little piece on Ernie and Denise. I busted in. Ding dong let me in. And she wants to take me to New York to the UN to present it to Monsieur Chirac.
Oh, Mr. Chirac. Now, can you give us a preview of this? I suppose it's a historic poem.
It's historic. Yeah. Look, I've been angry for weeks and months now, and it may feel like it's back in that Demidenko period, but it's happening in the South Pacific, and it must not happen, and that man must not just stand up in New York at the UN thing and spout nothing that anyone can understand.
Well, give us a taste of what he should be saying, Raymond.
Ho, 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 Ho Chi Minh, how does your garden grow? Chimney sweep, baby, Kosciuszko, mama, I'm red. I'm burnt black, get rooted, Jacques Chirac. Chirac. Combien la croissante on la fenêtre? Combien la croissante on la fenêtre? La croissante est ici, vous êtes là avec la mademoiselle Boulanger. Bonjour, bonsoir. Bon Jovi. Remember when you were young, Jackie boy. Remember when you were young and you ate noodles in the South Pacific tropics. Then they were stiff. Now they've gone sloppy.
Okie dokie, indeed. That was lovely.
I only hope that Gareth Evans is listening today.
Right now, Chirac, he's changing his mind.
He's
looking at the papers. He's going, how many more? He's going, nah, it's over.
It's finished.
You've turned the corner.
He did one more, didn't he?
Did he?
One more for the lagoon.
Until he gets it right.
And tell me, you've written 108 poems. Has someone like Andrew Lloyd Webber ever approached you to, say, turn one of your poems into a musical, get people on roller skates, in the cat suits? What
was the last one down here? Stages or not down here specifically, but anywhere? Stages? What was the last big Andrew Lloyd?
Aspects of something I've pinched from Mozart, I think it was called.
Aspects of boredom.
I think that was it.
I wrote that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You're very
good. So we've done one.
Aspects of Raymond.
You collaborated.
Yeah, but it was a farce. It didn't work.
Now, Raymond, I know you've been out and about talking about this album you've done with young Matt Healy, who I think was discovered on Hey Hey Saturday.
Hey Hey, Red Faces.
How is the relationship going there?
It's smooth as silk. If we were coming up for 7 years, there'd be no itching. He is such a... He's 7 years old. He's from Caringbah in Sydney. And,
Has he inspired any poetry, this young bloke?
Yeah, I think he has. He sort of made me go back, because he's seven and I'm whatever, and so I've had to go back and retreat, and I had a little baby too, Raymond had a little, and I think that got in there, and I was able to get down from the roof and the shrine and the moon and look into the cot and create for Matt and his whole life. And
can you give us an example of some of those thoughts?
Well, I could do a little piece. Yeah. It's more lyrical than the other one. It's
really?
Know, yeah.
Right, okay. Is this about Matt, or is it something
about,
you do with Matt?
No, this is like 9 months is the gestation, is it? Just the day before the 9 months is over.
Okay. Here we go.
Riding in your tummy. Kick, kick, lickety, split, roll and rock. It's a pretty tight fit. Deep inner soul, my soul and your soul, my whole room, your womb is rumbling, gurgle, gurgle, burp, burp, slap, slap, thump, I'm a lump in your tummy, oh mummy, it's just like that bug in that rug, snug, placenta and membrane, let's have one last hug, it's time to shoot through, I'm pulling the plug.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Raymond.
Another masterpiece.
He's a wordsmith. There's no denying.
And from the mind of Raymond J. Bartholomew. Thanks for coming in today, Raymond.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all right. And injecting, as we say, a bit of culture into Martin Molloy. We'll be back in just a moment with, a good friend of Raymond's, one Brian Nankervis. But just before that, we're just going to play a little extract from the album, the work of Raymond J. Bartholomew's and young Matt Healy. Check this out.
Michael Hutchins got a brand new beagle.
Hot top hippie parties.
Inner city drippy smarties.
Make me twist and crawl.
Shake and shimmy.
Jacuzzi dancing like a Labrador in the sunset.
Do you know that Polacco is Italian for no future?
Do you know that Buzz Aldrin was the first man to wet his pants on the moon?
If there are dogs in space,
why do we put them in kennels?
The new
That's all for one. They can love you like that. And Raymond's left the building, so I think it's safe to welcome our second guest today. Well, I suppose you could call him the owner, operator, manager of Raymond J. Bartholomew's. It's Brian Nankervis. How are you, Brian?
Good, Tony. Very well. Thank you very much. Mick, how are you?
Oh, very good, thank you, Brian. Thanks for popping by.
Oh, pleasure.
Catch up. Have a yak.
Yeah.
I just want to get the name right because we had Isabella Scorupco from the new James Bond film in last week. Is it Nankervis or is it Nankervis?
It is Nankervis. Yeah. I haven't heard Nankervis for a while.
Yeah, until I spoil Tony, things and said it in the last segment.
Especially if you want to be immortalised in a limerick. It's always been the, you know, Nankervis. The Nankervis doesn't run the same, does it? Yeah. It wasn't all there from Nankervis.
No, see, I think it's a funny old name. I've always felt a bit embarrassed. But what's its historical
origin? What's the origin?
Cornish.
Cornish?
Yep. Mm. Yep, Cornwall, Devon, that area. But when I was in America, I used to have real trouble saying Brian Nankervis at all. Why was that?
Do you do a comedy Cornish accent, Brian?
No.
That'd just be a matter of spitting all over the place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's a fair bit of spittle involved in your comedy Cornish accent, so we won't attempt to mount one today.
Ooh, no.
Now, limericks really aren't the form of Raymond J. And do you mind us asking the relationship between yourself and Raymond? Yep. I think people have obviously picked the voice now.
Yes.
How different are they in your own mind?
Oh, I think probably Raymond's just about mine with tweaked a bit, injected with something. Or
when you dream, do you dream as Brian or do you dream as Raymond J?
Absolutely, Brian.
Brian.
And do you ever find yourself...
interesting question.
Exactly.
This is probing.
Oh, yeah. No one said it was going to be easy.
No.
It's just a Donald. Yeah. It's not about just sitting down and having a few laughs.
This ain't
you're
some
under the hammer.
Ray Martin top bloke thing. Nah, you're under the microscope
here. Well, I did What's Cooking today, so see, it's
did
a
you really?
Slide.
Tell us about that.
Oh, it's good. It was fun. I mean, I must say I do love a bit of telly. It's exciting.
And what do you do? What's your involvement?
I did it as Raymond.
And Ben, you bring in your special
yes,
recipe?
Yes, I did scones.
You did scones?
with Jeff Jantz. Jeff's fabulous.
That's brain food for Raymond, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I always loved scones. That's the sentimental part of me.
Yeah.
And Sunday afternoon.
What about Jeff Jantz? Is that his real
Jeff
hair?
Jeff Jantz is real hair. I grabbed it today. I always do like to shake him around a bit. And he likes that. Yeah. No, it's good.
And you've done a bit of Ernie in Denise. You're just a media slut, aren't you? You'll do anything. You'll come on Martin Malloy. And tell us about Ernie and Denise. What happened there?
Denise is wonderful. She and I actually got to know each other a bit at Hey Hey, and I shared... I was in a dressing room once, and she was being told off by someone very high up in the organisation. I think we bonded a bit after that.
Right. You know, the great thing about Ernie is that he loves anything. Like
Ernie,
you can say,
he's charming.
You can say anything to him. You can just go, "G'day, Ernie, how are you?" And he's away. he'll go on like that for about 25 minutes.
Bringing back memories for you, is it, Bob? Yes, and his wife will crop up. Did you see it today? I was actually watching it. They had this thing on affairs. Mm. A woman, they have a segment where people write in and say, you know, what should I do? And this woman says, oh, you know, the zest has been going out of my marriage. And and they're all just, Ernie was saying, yeah, go for it. I was a bit shocked, to be honest. I think that background of my
He's a wild man, Ernie Sigley. Now, tell us, Brian, you've been up to something. I've got a little brochure here for something you're putting on in Melbourne. You and Linda Gibson, of course, who's been on the program, doing the big ones. Tell us what the big ones is, if you could.
It's sort of an extension of a radio show that Linda and I do on Triple R called Big Saturday, and we're sort of taking it into the theatre.
Right.
Six nights. Each night has a topic, starting with birth, finishing with death, and doing youth, sex, politics and religion in the middle. Mm. And each night there'll be a singer. We've got Rebecca Barnard, Michael Thomas from Weddings Parties, Archie Roach, Mark Gillespie, Stephen Cummings, Angie Hart from Frente. Mm. Each night there's a performer doing a piece.
Yeah.
Can I use that?
I think you can, yeah.
A piece. And then there's two interview guests. And
okay.
You know, Ron Barassi, obviously, for religion.
Me and Tone were keen to get involved, but unfortunately you didn't have a special topic underpants, which is about the only thing we can talk
boxes.
At length on. It's up there. It's one of the big ones, though.
Exactly.
I have to say that. Okay, Brian, well, all the best with that
you.
At the
Universal
Theatre in Melbourne, starting the November the 2nd, of course. Book now, and thanks for coming in today.
And you've got to ring now on 419-377.
Or you'll be a fool to yourself and a burden to others.
That's good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
See ya.
Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.